Certainly appreciate each one that has come today. I'd like for you to consider this morning what it would have been like to have been in paradise. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Imagine not having to pray, Lord, please send cooler weather. Not having to worry about locking your doors at night. Can you imagine what that would have been like? Every fruit that you desired was right there. Everything that you needed in life. Quite a change from the world that we live in. A paradise. God coming down in the cool of the evening and there being that perfect communion with God. But there came a day that Adam and Eve disobeyed. And do you stop and wonder, why was that? Everything that they needed, every fruit, they had it made in life. They had communion with God. No sorrow, no death. Probably no thorns to get in their feet. But yet, there came the day that somehow they turned their back on all of that. And it's almost as if they said, Lord, we don't need what you provided for us. Lord, we don't need your commandments over us. Really, we don't need you. We can do it our own way. After that day that sin entered into the world, the sorrow that came, the murder, the lies, the cheating, the violence, all of those things that came and having to work by the sweat of the brow. All because of a feeling that, Lord, we really don't need you. We don't need to do things the way that you instructed us to do. But I want to say this morning, we really do need the Lord. He has provided everything for us in life, everything that we need. And each one of us here today need him desperately. The children of Israel were slaves in Egypt for perhaps 400 years. Can you imagine what that would have felt like? Whips on your back in the heat of the day. And as you go by the palace of Pharaoh, maybe you look at envy, with a little envy. When you see the servants there fanning Pharaoh or see the lords with their feasting and you're bearing a burden of bricks. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been a slave in Egypt? And the Lord showed himself mighty on their behalf. He worked miracles. He turned the Nile to blood. He sent plagues. He did so many things. And then he parted the sea for them so that they could escape from their bondage. Not only did he do that, but he closed the sea back in on their enemies. The Lord worked a wonderful deliverance for the children of Israel. And I'd like to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all the people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman. From the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth the covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandment to 1,000 generations, and repayeth them that hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack to them, to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore it shall come to pass if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto the fathers. And he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn, thy wine, and thine oil, the increase of thine kine, and the flocks of thy sheep in the land which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord will put away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the diseases of Egypt which thou knowest upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. These people needed the Lord. The Lord delivered them in a mighty way, and he gave them promises of the blessings that they would have if they would simply live for him. But in spite of their great need for the Lord, in their battles, in the conquering of the land, there came times that they turned their back on the Lord. And it's almost as if they said, Lord, we remember what you did, but really we don't need you. We can make it on our own. We can worship our own gods. In Exodus chapter 32, Exodus 32, when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. And after he had made it a molten calf, and they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the hand of Egypt. The Lord had worked wonderful miracles for them. He promised them a land flowing with milk and honey. And so quickly they turned and said, This is our God. This is the one that brought us up out of Egypt. But these people needed the Lord. In the carnage that resulted to purge the plague of the Lord out of the camp, some 3,000 people died, turning their back on the Lord. Isn't it sad today that people that need the Lord so much, that maybe the Lord has done wonderful things for them in life, has blessed them, they've come up around the saints and seen what the Lord can do, and they turn their back, and then there's destruction in their lives. Dear ones, we need the Lord in our lives. If we turn our backs on him, if we decide to go a different way, I can do it my way. Really, this is the God that brought me up out of Egypt. If we turn our hearts from the Lord, we're going to find ourselves in desperate need. I thought of the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15. Luke 15 and 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Father, I don't need you. I don't need your rules. I don't need your house. Just give me my inheritance and I'm on my way. How many people have said that to the Lord? Lord, really, I don't need you. I don't need all those do's and don'ts. Just let me enjoy my own life. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. He began to realize, I have some needs after all. That's what happens to folks that turn their back on the Lord. They begin to realize, I have some real needs. I'm not in such good shape after all. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He began to realize, I need Father's house. There are things that I left behind that I thought I didn't need, but really I do. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. I'm sorry, verse 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. I'm glad there is a place of forgiveness, a place of renewal, a place of a second chance when we begin to realize I really do need the Lord in my life. As a little boy, I was angry. Something somebody in my family had done, my parent or somebody, I don't even remember what caused my anger. But I was angry. And I announced to my family, I'm leaving home. Now, I was probably 5 or 6 years old. And they were startled. And, well, all right, Doug, but if you leave home, aren't you going to need some things? What are you going to do? Where are you going to spend the night? These were questions that I hadn't really considered. Well, Doug, you're going to need some food. Why don't we get some cans? We'll get some cans here, and you're going to need something to carry these cans in. We'll get a suitcase. So they got the suitcase out in the kitchen. And it was getting to the point I couldn't handle it. Well, Doug, how are you going to open the cans? Don't you think you need a can opener? We'll put a can opener in there. What about heating the food up? You going to eat this cold? You know what I was realizing? I need my family. I need my parents. I can't make it on my own. Dear ones, we need the Lord. We don't realize sometimes how helpless we are. We may feel like, I'm grown. I'm wise enough to handle the world on my own. I can make it. But you need the Lord. There are things out there that are going to rob you, that are going to hurt you, that are going to bring heartache in your life, and you need the Lord. But really, they were showing me I had some real needs. At that time, I still wet the bed. And they reminded me of that fact. Don't you think you need some diapers or something to go in the suitcase? You know, they were just showing me how desperate my need was. And really, that's the way we are when we feel like we don't need the Lord. We can just head on out and make it on our own. In Luke chapter 18. Luke 18. And verse 35, it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now here was a man in need. He wasn't able to go and get on government assistance. He was not able to live in some rich relative's house, apparently, and simply be provided for. This man was in a desperate condition. and he was depending on those that passed by. In this country, it may be hard to imagine beggars like this. I have seen them in foreign countries, people that are desperate. If they don't receive from that little few coins that come, they may not eat. This man had a need, and he recognized it, and he cried, saying, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." When we realize our need for the Lord, that's the cry that needs to come from our heart. Yes. Have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But he cried so much the more, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." When we recognize our need of the Lord, we're going to be willing to cry out. We're going to be willing to push against the pressures of others that will hold us back from getting what we need for our souls. But he cried so much the more. When they tried to discourage him, when they tried to get him to keep his silence, "Have mercy on me." And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" And he said, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." I'm glad that the Lord is there. When we cry out to him, when we beg for mercy, he's there to heal the blinded eyes. He's there to save the soul. He's there to heal the broken heart. Whatever the problem may be in life, the Lord is there to take care of that problem. In Psalms 34 and 6, Psalms 34 and 6, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." We need to recognize our need for the Lord, and we need to cry out to him. "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." How do you want your life? Lacking any good thing? We need the Lord, don't we? Yes. "They that fear him shall not want any good thing." Verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit." Those that realize, I need the Lord desperately. I need him more than my essential food. I need him more than the pleasures that this world has to offer me. Those that are of a broken heart, of a contrite spirit, the Lord will be close to them and supply every need that they have. The scripture promises us, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Poor men need the Lord. It says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him." But I believe that rich men need the Lord too. Luke chapter 16. Luke 16 and 19, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores." Perhaps this rich man felt, "I don't need anybody. I'm a self-made man. I have everything the heart could desire, and I certainly don't need this beggar here at my gate. It's an embarrassment. He makes me feel guilty. A man self-sufficient. But then there was a beggar that definitely recognized he had a need. You know what a beggar is? Someone that pleads for help. I need help. I need food. I need comfort. Will you please give me something? Verse 22, and it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. Rich men need the Lord. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he became the beggar. He began to realize his need. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that thou in thy lifetime receivedst thy good things. Likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Son, do you remember in your lifetime that you felt like you didn't need anybody? That you didn't need the Lord? Do you remember that? You needed the Lord. What is our feeling today toward the Lord? Do we feel that deep need? Do we feel, Lord, I am desperate for you? No matter how well things are going financially, no matter how much pleasure we are having in life, how big our dreams are, do we have a desperate feeling, I need the Lord? I have to have Him. Young men need the Lord. Lamentations 3 and 27. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. That's Lamentations 3 and 27, then verses 25 and 26. Young men need the Lord to be blessed in life, to be happy in life. And the same applies for young women. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes 11 and 9, Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Young men, you need the Lord. Young ladies, you need the Lord. Know that there is a God in heaven, watching everything that you think, you say, you do, and He will bring us all into judgment. A young man may feel like, I am strong, I have plenty of time, life is too exciting, I know how to handle myself, I don't need the Lord, but you really do. There's coming a time that there will be great sorrow if we reject the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12 and 1 says, Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. There's coming a day that we will all recognize with a great intensity our need for the Lord. The atheist is going to wake up someday and realize, I needed the Lord. The person who may be moral, the person who is a hypocrite, the person that may seem like a good neighbor, all of these folks someday will realize, I needed the Lord. Do we recognize our need for the Lord today? How desperate it is. We need Him every day, every hour. We need Him for grace. We need Him to bless our lives. We're desperate for His blessings. Old people need the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12 and 5. When they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home. That is a day that we all need the Lord, isn't it? That day that we all get called to our long home. It is sad to me to go into nursing homes and see some people who have lived their lives selfishly, full of wickedness, and to recognize this person has been spent. Their life is almost over. Their mind may be gone, and they're going to their long home. Those folks need the Lord. And really, they needed the Lord all through their lives, but they came down to the end of life's way, never having acknowledged their need for the Lord. Old men need the Lord. Verse 7, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit return unto God who gave it. One day, Jesus was crucified. The just among the unjust. The spotless among the guilty. And on each side there was a man that deserved to die. One of them felt like, I don't need the Lord. It said that concerning those that were mocking Jesus that he cast the same in his teeth. He was mocking Jesus as well. Essentially saying, I don't need you, Lord. Sometimes tough men die with great bravery, or shall we call it foolishness, feeling like they don't need the Lord. But the other thief was guilty as well, and he recognized, I need the Lord. This man was suffering. This man was dying. This man was guilty. He was getting ready to go out into eternity. The scripture says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after that the judgment. This man was going out to face God with his sins. But he recognized his need and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. A cry for help, Lord, I need you. Will you remember me? I'm glad that every one of us can have that same cry. Lord, remember me. I have sinned. I have done things, Lord, that I can never make them right. I can't take care of my own sins. Will you just remember me? Will you have mercy on me? That's the kind of cry that ought to come out of our hearts. There are things that we can never restore. There are things that if we could go back in time, we would take care of. But oh, I'm glad that there is a Savior that recognizes our need. And when we cry to Him in that way, He's willing to respond. And He told that dying man, that suffering man, this day, you will be with me in paradise. When times are dangerous, we need the Lord. Psalms chapter 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I need a hiding place. This world is dangerous. There are evil spirits out there. There's crime. There are so many things. There are things that destroy families. There's things that destroy strong men, that break down the health, that get them involved in habits and addictions. I need a hiding place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. There's a hiding place for every one of us. We need the Lord. We need that place of safety and shelter. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. I acknowledge I need Him. Surely He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under the wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. This is better than any insurance policy. This is better than me taking some self-defense course or having concealed carry. I am glad that I have the Lord. Nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side. Those folks needed the Lord. And 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Because you recognized your need for Him, and you made Him your dwelling place, you made Him your place of safety. You stayed where there was help and there was strength. It helped preserve your family. It helped preserve your children. And as a result, you're not going to see the destruction in your life. You'll be a witness to it, all right, to those that said, I didn't need the Lord. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. I like that kind of protection. Now, a man at work marveled when I described the violence in Honduras, the murder capital of the world. He marveled about me going there unarmed. Well, when the angels have charge, you don't need that. That's protection. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call on me, and I will answer him. There is another place, I believe in Proverbs, that says, you'll call on me, and I will not answer. I'll laugh at the day of your calamity. Those are the people that said, I don't need the Lord. But when we recognize our need, and when we seek after the Lord, when we call on Him, He will answer. He will be with us in time of trouble, and He will honor us. With long life will I satisfy Him and show Him my salvation. When times are dangerous, we need the Lord. When other people are going back, we need the Lord. We need to be in that place of protection. I'm glad that we have the Lord. The last words that Jesus spoke that were recorded in Matthew are these. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I'm glad we have the Lord. Yes. I'm glad that He promised to stay with us all the way to the end. There are things about the end that I don't like seeing. I don't like seeing some of the trends in society, watching our nation crumbling at its core. But I am thankful that we have the Lord, that He has promised He's going to be with us all the way to the end. I'm glad that we don't have to wait for some age to come to have the Lord. Waiting for Him to return and set up a kingdom here on earth. I'm glad we have Him with us today, right now. I'm glad He's here with us in this room today. I'm glad that He will be with us when we wake up tomorrow. We need the Lord. I need Him every day. I'd like for us to sing this song. It may be 6 or 7 in the Blue Book, I'm not sure. In times like these, you need a Savior.